Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Tonight we'll look at verse 8, but we'll start with verse 2. Matthew chapter 5, verses 2 through 8, focusing on verse 8. This is God's word. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Let's pray. Father, as we come to this, your word this evening, we thank you for the privilege to be able to worship you this morning. We thank you for the message that Pastor Nicholas brought to us in the book of Romans. And we thank you for the privilege that we have to come back again this evening to consider your word from Matthew. Thank you, Father, for this passage. Open our hearts to its truths. Drive your truth into our hearts and give us grace in our walk with you, to know you and to grow in our walk with you. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Verse 8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Isn't that the desire of most people, to be able to see God? Now, we know there are some people, they don't want to see God, but I think most people want to be able to see God. They want to be able to go to heaven. But what people think about what heaven is varies from person to person, kind of across the board. And so, as we consider this, we realize that here the Lord challenges us that it's the pure in heart that will see the Lord. Now, when you think about pure in heart, think about what somebody's heart is like. And when we look at our own hearts, we realize that they're often kind of all over the map. We can feel and think and believe different things. We think about something that's pure. We can sometimes think about dogs or cats. A purebred is one special breed. There are others that they put a couple of breeds together and this is what they get. But purity of heart is kind of a flawlessness in the heart. And that seems to be beyond what we can really even understand. We understand when chemicals are pure. We understand when diamonds and their level of purity and a fabric that's all wool or all cotton. But it's hard to get the idea of what a pure heart really looks like. So tonight, I want you to think about three questions as we kind of look at this verse. What does it mean to be pure in heart? What does it mean to see God? And what does it mean to be blessed? So I want to start with question number three first. And as we do, and as we look at this passage, I want us to recognize that since it is the pure in heart who will see God, we seek God through Jesus Christ, his perfect Son. So what does it mean to be blessed? The pure in heart are blessed. Now, we've been looking at this word as we've kind of gone through these different Beatitudes. But it's good to just remember what we've been looking at when we think about these Beatitudes. And this one in particular kind of reminds me just of the richness of Scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, and that word blessing or being blessed. We maybe think about Aaron's blessing in Numbers chapter 6 that he was to give to the Israelites. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. That blessing from the Old Testament was to be given to God's people. God's blessing to sit on, to rest on God's people. To be a recipient of God's grace, his mercy, his kindness. To be under the care of the Lord, to be in his good favor. So the blessing of God rests on them. They are in relationship with God. Think about from Psalm 24. Verses 3 and 4. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. One who has clean hands, one who is pure, who is not deceitful. Now, we find people in the Old Testament that we would say they were blessed of God. Now, one person we wouldn't really think of right off the bat would be Job. But Job was blessed of God because God's care was on him every moment of his suffering. That's a good thing to remember. God was watching over Job. He was restraining Satan. He was restraining the forces of evil all throughout the process. Think about David as he fled from Saul. God blessed him. God watched over him. God protected him. And sometimes we might think that God is not really taking care of me when things are rough. Those are really the times that God's extending special care for us. And maybe that's really good for us to remember. That when we go through a really tough time, God is expressing special care for us in the midst of struggle and pain. It's not that everything works out perfectly, but to be under the care of the Lord is to know that he watches over us. Think about Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills to see where my help comes. It comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The psalm reminds us that the Lord is constantly watching over us. He won't let us fall. He'll sustain us, guard us, and protect us. And that was a psalm that they were to sing as they went up to worship. It would remind them of coming into the presence of God for worship. The blessing of God rests on his people, that we who are serving him, seeking him, we're really in harmony with God, that God is at work in our lives. Now, question 2, what does it mean to see God? The pure in heart will see God. I thought about Enoch in Genesis chapter 5. Enoch walked with God, and he was not because God took him. And he lived a short life back then. He only lived 300 years. But God took him. I mean, what an amazing testimony of God's grace to Enoch. We think about people to whom Jesus was speaking. We would think of the Pharisees. And if we lived in Jesus' day and we heard Jesus talking about the pure in heart, we might think of the Pharisees. We would think these guys try to do everything right. They look good on the outside. everything seems to line up in their lives. And these guys were mostly well off. They did pretty well. And so we would think, okay, God is blessing them because they're financially sound. They're stable. They make a lot of money. They're doing really well. We would think that it would be good people, from our perspective, that would see God, that they're morally better people, that those are the ones that will see God first. But that's not exactly what Jesus says here. He's not grading on a curve. The pure in heart will see God. And we would recognize, oh, that's going to let out a whole bunch of people that aren't going to make that. We'd realize most people aren't pure. And then when we see our own sin, we could be concerned. We'll feel our own unworthiness. We'll recognize that it's not likely, it would seem, that we would be one who would see God. But then sometimes you got those people that they're always grading themselves against other people. Well, I'm better than that guy, so I'll probably be closer to seeing God than that person. We hear people make those kinds of comparisons all the time. And sometimes we'll think we look pretty good in comparison with those people. But then we go to Romans chapter 3, and we've been there on Sunday mornings. And we're reminded that there is no one righteous, not one, that they have together become unclean, that there is no one who does good, no one seeks God. Altogether, they are cut out. Jeremiah 17:9, a verse that we just read, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. Who can know it? And then we think of Isaiah 64:6, that even our righteous deeds are as filthy rags. We recognize that from that perspective, nobody's got a clean heart. Not a single one of us. Even Moses in Exodus could not see God, but that God had to hide his face when God passed by. And we know Moses, for his day, and maybe all of humanity, was the most humble man who ever lived. God is holy, holy, holy. God is pure. And sometimes we think about the reality of the need for us before God. John Stott points out that this word, really at its root, has kind of the idea of sincerity as we consider this word. More precisely, the primary reference is to sincerity. Already in the verses of Psalm 24 that we looked at, the person with clean hands and a pure heart is one who does not lift up his soul to what is false and idle, and does not swear deceitfully. That is, in his relations with both God and man, he is free from falsehood. So the pure in heart are the utterly sincere. Their whole life, public and private, is transparent before God and men. Their very hearts, including their thoughts and motives, is pure, unmixed with anything devious, ulterior, or base. Hypocrisy and deceit are abhorrent to them. They are without guile. Kids, aren't there times when sometimes we see somebody sitting on the edge of the chair and we want to mess with them, or they're looking at something and they're not paying attention, and we think now would be a perfect time for a wet willy? Do you know what willy is? Put your finger in your mouth, pull it out, stick it in the ears. do not try this at home. It can create all kinds of random, difficult responses. John Calvin talks about the fact that we wear different faces. And we sometimes do that. Now, it's one thing with one group of friends that we act a particular way, and another group of friends maybe a different way. But the trick is not to be different people. And sometimes there's a temptation for us to be different depending on where we are. To be pure in heart is to really work at being the same person all the time. To not hide behind different masks. To not play games with people. That's something that's a really important thing to remember. But who is pure in heart? No one. Romans 3, no one. We come back to this. So left to ourselves, we're not pure. So those two questions, the first two questions, or question 2 and 3, what does it mean to see God? Well, and what does it mean to be blessed? It's for the pure in heart. And we are not pure in heart. So does that mean that we won't see God? So question number one, what does it mean to be pure in heart? And for us, what we want to recognize and understand is the pure in heart will see Christ Jesus. That's how we see God. For who he actually is. And put our faith completely in him. Here Jesus is teaching his disciples, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, people of their whole community, all kinds of people, all kinds of different backgrounds. But most of these people didn't really see Jesus for who he is. Not really. They saw him, some for what they wanted him to be. He will be the next earthly leader. They saw him as a fake. They saw him as a good teacher, perhaps, but not as God himself. And so in John chapter 8, as Jesus is addressing the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he talks to them about Abraham. And perhaps you remember 8:58 in the Gospel of John. Jesus said, "Before Abraham was born, I am." And he's really demonstrating he is God himself. The pure in heart will see Jesus for who he is. And this is really the message all throughout the Gospels. You think of John 1:1, John tells us that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Christ is the Word. And so as Jesus prays in the high priestly prayer in John 17, he prays that God the Father would sanctify his disciples, his followers. That word sanctify means make holy. And he prays it not only for them who are here, but for those who will believe in me through their message. That would be us. That he prays that for us as well as for the disciples. Christ's death on the cross, he died as a man without sin, a pure death. God himself, who took on a human nature, the holy God taking on a sinless human nature, died on the cross. Perhaps you're familiar with 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That Christ died to pay that penalty for us. And then if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, as the Apostle Paul writes to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. The thing that's interesting about that verse is Paul writes to this church, a really messed up church. Lots of sin issues going on in this church. But he writes to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus. That word sanctified, it's a perfect. Having been made holy. To those who have been made holy. And often we think about sanctification, we think about the progressive sense of sanctification. That sanctification is the ongoing process of us being conformed to the image of Christ. That's appropriate. But here is one of the references in the New Testament of sanctification as a definitive work that is already completed. That God has made us holy by the finished work of Christ on the cross. We're not only justified, but we've also been sanctified. But there's still that ongoing process to grow in grace. But there's the reality that we are holy in the sight of the living God. And so when we think about this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is a reference to all who trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, to know that we will see the living God. We will see Christ in heaven. We will be in the presence of the living God through Christ who conquered death and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We know their groups, that they are thinking that they can be completely holy in this life. And so what they do is they have to prove to each other, Christian groups that think that they can be holy in this life. So what they usually have to do then is they have to prove to each other that they're more holy than the other one. And what they do then is they externalize and they do all that they can to make themselves look really good. But in reality, their hearts are usually at very different places. We want to recognize that in this life, apart from Christ, we won't be completely holy. That sanctification will be an ongoing process. But we're also people who have been made holy by the finished work of Christ. And so even as we come to the Lord's table tonight, we come recognizing that we are ones who have seen God. We've seen him in our hearts. We've been able to see who Jesus really is. Because of the finished work of Christ on the cross, he's opened the eyes of our hearts so that we know who Jesus is. We recognize that Jesus is Lord and that he invites us to his table to come into his presence. R.C. Sproul, in sort of talking about God and God as spirit, but also being able to see God, spends a long time sort of talking about this whole process. But in the end, what he basically says, I don't think you'll ever see God, the Spirit, with your eyes. But I think you'll see God, the Spirit, with your soul. I think he's probably right, because God is Spirit. And we see spiritually, not because of anything in us, but because of what God has done for us. We can come to this table and know that we are the pure in heart, not because of anything that we've done, but because of what Jesus has done for taking us from death to life and opening the eyes of our hearts that we know Jesus as the Lord himself, and that now, because of what Christ has done, we now see God in our hearts and know him as our Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank and praise you that we can come this evening to be reminded of your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you are the God who takes us from death to life. And that even though in this life we grow in our sanctification, we thank you that also you tell us that it is something that you have completed for us as well as our justification. And so we look to you in faith, seeking to continue in that walk with you. We pray, Father, that you'll fill us with your Spirit, that you'll work in our hearts, and that you'll be at work in a mighty and a powerful way. Father, we ask and pray that as we come this evening, we pray that you will take these elements and set them aside from a common use to a holy one, that we, your people, might be spiritually nourished, encouraged, and built up in you. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.